the old playbook doesn't work like it used to. You can't just hire a ton of SDRs, give them a playbook, buy a database, buy a sequencer, and say, go, add 50 to 100 people a day. It just doesn't work like it used to for many reasons. Deliverability, competition is higher than ever before because of the cost of building software is lower than ever before. Attention is more scarce than ever before. I think there's like some actual, like kind of real headwinds there that make it very difficult for that old playbook to work like it used to.
Welcome to Go-to-Market Mavericks, the podcast where we go deep on innovative, contrarian, and effective approaches to go-to-market with the hands-on operators behind them.
Really, really excited to have Brendan Short as our guest. Brendan was previously at Apollo and then previously founded this company called Groundswell and writes for The Signal, which is my favorite Substack out there. And I really encourage everyone to go sign up for it.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate the kind words, Kevin. It means a lot coming from you. When I see you posting things, I'm 99% of the time nodding my head.
I know, so not much of a debate here. We're probably just gonna like share the same opinions on things, but we'll get into some fun topics. Yeah,
we'll find the areas we disagree on. I think we'll get into it, but I think the kind of the AI SDR thing is, you know, it's more nuanced, and there's not kind of a yes or no answer. So I'm excited to jam on this with you. I was at Apollo previously and started a company called Groundswell, which is focused on, we started with like kind of product usage signals. So in the PLG space, and then we were expanding to other signals. Outside of that, this was a few years ago now. I also, interestingly, my first company was a company called Hexa, which was email personalization at scale. And we got acquired by a venture-backed company that was kind of doing a outsourced sales development. So it's kind of like in hindsight, it was definitely just like an AI SDR back in 2017 or something like that. And I see very similar problems to today with kind of the AI SDRs. Although obviously LLMs are magical and much, much more powerful than they were, you know, whatever that was, 8 years ago. I think there's a lot of really interesting technology, and that's obviously a very big tailwind. I'm writing The Signal and doing a little consulting. I am like, I would say that the kind of the through line for me right now is like, I'm trying to figure out what is the future go-to-market playbook. I think we are at like a very real inflection point where there's just a bunch of different things happening at once. And I know that the old playbook doesn't work like it used to. And I think that there's a new playbook that's starting to emerge, but I truly think we're very early on that. And so that's what I'm trying to explore in The Signal is honestly just like my public exploration into what is actually working. How do you actually deploy AI in go-to-market? What is a modern go-to-market tech stack and, you know, everything that comes with that look like? What are the roles? I think a lot of things are in flux right now. So I'm excited to kind of jam on some of that stuff with you too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's certainly like part of the fun where it's like, at least there is a market. At least there's like a lot of things happening. And, you know, part of the fun is like building as we go and trying to figure out as we go along. And yeah, I certainly like look to you for some guidance there. And because, you know, we're building it along with the rest of the market at Common Room too. So cool. Awesome stuff. I'm actually going to like stop sharing the so people can see our faces in a larger way as we have this dialogue. So first thing I wanted to get at is something that is, you know, very top of mind today specifically, and it's addressing the elephant in the room, which is the whole 11x debacle. Brendan, I don't know if you want to just share your take on that. I mean, I have my own take, but wanted to pass the torch to you to see if, like, you know, quick takes from Brendan on this thing that is less than 24 hours in the making.
Yeah, obviously. I don't know the nuance beyond kind of the TechCrunch article and some chatter on LinkedIn. I would say that, look, this is my take on AI SDRs at kind of the highest level. If you can buy something for, you know, X amount of dollars per month, and it gives you Y, you know, 2X those dollars at the end of the month in terms of ROI, like that's a very compelling pitch, right? If I can say, hey, you give me $5K and I'll give you 10 meetings. Like you can do that math very quickly and say, okay, cool. Does it make sense? What is my typical cost of acquisition, what is my deal size? And like in 15 seconds, you can back into that math. And so as it relates to an AI SDR, this is kind of like, it's going to do everything for you. It's going to autonomously book meetings on your behalf. And the like fully automated version of an AI SDR, we'll call it like autopilot versus copilot, or augmentation. That full autonomous AI SDR, I just think like if the same thing with like intent data, like if this thing was so good that you could put in 5K at the beginning of the month and get 10K at the end of the month, people would be shoveling all of their money into these things and every company in the world would be already using them. And so obviously they're not like completely performing at that level where I can put in 5K and get out 10K. Why is that not the case? And will that become the case eventually? I think are the more interesting questions, but like very obviously it's like I don't hear people raving about their AI SDR experience publicly. I think it's like, it's probably more nuanced than that, but at the highest level, I think it's like that's kind of where it's at. And so it's like, you know, these companies are ripping because you can position that as like, hey, give us 5K, we'll give you 10K out. But the reality is you have to do this in a really smart way. And you have to build products in a way that like, it's really difficult, as you well know.
Yeah. I mean, that to me is, and to like full disclosure, like we genuinely used 11X and tried it as a product. And I think the product is like, you know, really sound, really solid. And I totally believe in the space. I would just say that the promise makes sense. And like, maybe AI, maybe we're just not quite there yet. Where it's like, you know, like just like you said, dollar in, dollar out. I can augment or even replace my SDR team. Great at conceptual level. Like this gets our cost per headcount down and our team much more efficient. If this thing costs $3,000 a month and it's generating, you know, $2 million in pipeline or $200,000 in pipeline or whatever the unit economics to work out, great. But I think in practice, it just wasn't quite there yet. And I wanted to share some of the learnings that I've found as a user of the product, because it also applies to like, you know, how to do things the right way going forward. And so some of the things that I screwed up on personally, it's like, I'm as a user of the product, it was a user error in a lot of ways and not actually the product itself. The product is just doing deterministic things, maybe not the LLM side of it so much, but like it's finding prospects, it's putting them in sequence, and it's generating an AI personalized message for them. The thing that I found was not was a mistake on my end is I was like, okay, this is a risk. I'm not gonna put my high profile, high fit prospects into this. So I'm gonna target the bottom end of the market and I'm gonna YOLO it a little bit to see if it works. And then the other thing is I was just prompting it to death because I don't think AI, like the LLMs, got to a point where it's like, oh, this is doing reasoning the right way to where it's like, this is a good outbound message to send. And so I ended up just writing it. So, and I'm also very particular about my voice and how, you know, how the copy that I write comes off. And so essentially I just prompted it so that it pretty much was just like a templated outbound email. So it's like, if you're doing things that way, then like, why not just use your sequencer and like A/B test instead? The other thing, which we'll get into more too, is that the data that it's personalizing off of is essentially just doing like a Google search for that person and then looking at their LinkedIn profile or scraping whatever data is public and then saying like, okay, like let's infer some things about this versus like actually getting into meaningful signals or meaningful data that you know about that account. And so I feel like I touched on most of the areas why, you know, that didn't work. And it was an approach that like mostly could have been fixed on my end versus like the product being faulty or anything like that. It's not like the product is broken. I think it's the approach to it is somewhat broken.
Yeah, I think that's spot on. By the way, just to add to that, I mentioned before, the first company that I started was acquired by a outsourced sales development company. It was basically like a services company trying to build products. So trying to automate sales development. There were a few big lessons from that experience. One of the biggest ones was exactly what you're talking about, which is, well, a couple things, but oftentimes we would get a customer and we'd be like, okay, cool. Which accounts are we going after? And they'd say, hey, you can go after these 5,000 accounts. And then I'd say, okay, cool. What, like, why these 5,000? And they're like, well, the other 30,000 in our CRM are owned accounts for our 8 AEs. And so I go, okay, cool. Why are those owned accounts? And these are owned by marketing. They're like, well, the owned accounts are the ones that are tier one and these are tier two or three and whatever. It's like, okay, Seems like we're at a disadvantage out of the gates here, right? So it sounds like that's kind of one of the things that you ran into. Then you run into like the normal ROE stuff. This is all like solvable. So rules of engagement, meaning don't reach out to customers on accident. Don't reach out to open opportunities on accident. Don't reach out to a deal that was closed losted last month on accident and reach out cold. Like there's context. Again, I think this is where we're just early, but this is a very solvable thing technically, as far as I can understand it as a non-technical person, I should say. I think the other thing is, again, I think we're early here, but the commoditized data, I think there's like a bunch of commoditized data today that exists, which is like your title or your first name. 10 years ago, you could say, hi, Kevin, see you're a VP of marketing. And like you would have received that email, maybe not you, but many people would receive that email and be like, ah, Brandon personalized that email. He actually hand wrote that for me. And now we have kind of the layer two of that, which is like how much funding, number of employees. Then we have the layer three, which is, I think, where it gets the most interesting. Mm-hmm. This is kind of this concept of micro campaigns, which just don't, to my understanding, don't yet exist in an AI SDR. I think they will. That's the most interesting data. It's the data that's only relevant for me. And like other companies don't find that data relevant. Even my own competitor may not find this data as relevant. Right. This is where I talk a lot about like, you want to come up with like thoughtful and creative experiments. And that's where the alpha lives. And generative AI is very good at finding that on your behalf. So you don't have to manually search an hour to find interesting information about a company or person you're reaching out to. And again, I think that's just like, it's too nuanced for these kind of off the shelf AI SDRs. But I think that these are starting to get there. And yeah, one last thing I'll say is like, I definitely don't think all AI SDRs are bad. In fact, I think like for a low ACV, large TAM market,
right,
that level of like automation can be very, very effective. I've seen that firsthand.
Yeah. I was going to get into this later, but we might as well get into it now where there's kind of like, in my point of view, there's like this spectrum of like where you're tolerable or where you'll tolerate like using an AI SDR or not. And like, if you have, like you said, like your there's like this growth concept of like fishing with spears versus fishing with nets. And if you're in like fishing with nets bucket, it's like, you can't possibly, the unit economics first don't work out, but then you can't possibly like hire and reach enough people. You can't hire enough SDRs and like reach enough people in your total addressable market. And so in those situations at the, like the lower end of the market, you know, maybe an AI SDR, just getting the word out there and almost being like a brand on your behalf, like is a viable strategy. Whereas like if you're spearfishing, you know, going after those really good accounts, you know, I think it's more like augmented, like AI augmented, where like we're going to surface up these micro campaigns, we're going to surface up these signals or like help you draft and get from like zero to one, or but not actually like, but you're, the human's going to review the last mile. And so that's more of like the middle of the market. And then even at the, like the other end of the market, like the enterprise side of the market, they're not even like trying to get net new acquisition. They're really just like, take all of the data that we have about our product and about like our internal systems and all this stuff, and then just like give us what we know about our existing customers so that we can like, you know, reach out to them. So there's like lots of different areas of the spectrum, and like people always are like, are AI SDRs good or not? Like, should we use them or not? And I'm like, it depends on where you land on the spectrum and your strategy and all these other things. So it's not a spicy take, but it's like that it depends, but it really truly does, in my opinion.
Totally. Even at a single company, when I was at Zoom Video, I was doing operations and enablement for the BDR org there. There's 100 BDRs supporting about 1,600 AEs, I think. At Zoom, like Zoom Video, they have many, many free users. They have many, many very low contract value customers. And it doesn't make sense to have a BDR who's making, you know, whatever, 80, 90, 150K to go outbound into a company that has the most potential is to pay Zoom $2,000 a year. The math just doesn't make sense. So in that case, it's like, okay, can you automate a lot of this stuff with something that looks like or is an AI SDR for your SMB segment? And then for mid-market or enterprise, then you have a team of SDRs that own, you know, 40 accounts each. You definitely don't want just kind of an automated outreach to those 40 strategic enterprise accounts. So even within a company, it could be nuanced. It could be, okay, one segment, maybe it makes sense to use it and deploy it. Another segment, maybe it doesn't. So I think it has to be nuanced. And I think not enough people are thinking about like also the spectrum of like how automated, like it's not binary. I think that's the other like slice of this is, as an example, if you go and let's say a company goes and tiers 20,000 accounts in their CRM or 20,000 people, right? Tier one, tier two, tier three, very simply. There's a world where you would want tier ones to be put into a sequence from an SDR or an AE where it's an email. They're going to review the draft that was created, hopefully mentioning a signal or that was why that person was put into that sequence to begin with, why that lead was selected. They're reviewing that email. They're saying, yeah, this looks good, send, or I'm going to tweak something and then send. They're also then connecting on LinkedIn with the prospect. They're doing calls into that prospect. They're multi-threading. Maybe they're going to go try to find a warm intro. Maybe they're going to do some more research or whatever. There's like manual stuff. And then the tier twos or the tier threes, they get put into a sequence on behalf of that same SDR or same AE, but it's just a three-touch email sequence fully automated. So I think you have to, and like, is that first one an AI SDR? Like, kind of, I'd say like on the spectrum, it sort of is. It's not 100% autonomous, but it's kind of this co-pilot thing. And so I think that's the other nuance here is like, there's very few companies, I think, where a full-on autonomous AI SDR makes sense. But also I'd say there's very few companies where like some level of augmentation using something like an AI SDR or an AI co-pilot doesn't make sense. I think basically every company should be using something like that.
Mm-hmm. We have a lot of audience questions already that we might want to pull in a second. But first, I wanted to just go back to kind of like, okay, we know that the market's being disrupted. Like, that's why there's so much hype here. And I know, Brendan, you have a lot of both experience and also takes on, you know, what was broken of before, maybe like the predictable revenue playbook. And I think it might be helpful for the group here to just understand like, okay, why is this such a thing? Like, why is there so much hype around this? And like, what's being disrupted from the past?
Yeah, I'll try to give a quick answer here. But I think it's very clear to me. I by no means have the answer on what the new playbook is and have that figured out. Again, I think for instance, the AI use cases, I have no idea, but like to illustrate the point, I think we probably know like 5% of the use cases of AI in go-to-market. And in a few years, we'll get to like 80 or 90%. I think we're very, very early. So I don't know the new playbook. What I do feel very confidently about is the old playbook doesn't work like it used to. You can't just hire a ton of SDRs, give them a playbook, buy a database, buy a sequencer, and say, go, add 50 to 100 people a day. It just doesn't work like it used to for many reasons. Deliverability, competition is higher than ever before because of the cost of building software is lower than ever before. Attention is more scarce than ever before. I think there's like some actual like kind of real headwinds there that make it very difficult for that old playbook to work like it used to in kind of the ZIRP era. I'll pause there and let you react to that or add anything.
Yeah, no, I very much agree. It's just like there's like so much, so much people trying to get attention. And like one concept in marketing is being able to pattern disrupt. If you're scrolling the feed, or if you're like going through your inbox, like what is actually going to stand out? And because there's so much noise, and even like, I would say that AI SDRs actually do like a pretty good job of replicating that predictable revenue playbook, and even better because it's got one-to-one personalization. But that in this day and age is just not good enough because there's so much noise and people have already figured out how to make that playbook work. So in order to like get that pattern disrupt and stand out, you really need to have a small margin of error where you're like touching on a really strong pain point and you have the anecdote to that pain point or something that stands out, and maybe getting multi-channel, like you were saying before, is another way of doing that, because it's a LinkedIn DM, it's a video, it's calling someone. Like, calls are really big right now because, you know, people answer their phone or get a text or whatever. And like, that is like a, like dialing for dollars is back in vogue. So I really think like the bar is just a lot higher now. And that's why part of the reason why we're seeing like this playbook, this old predictable revenue model playbook applied with like AI wrapper on top of it, is just like not effective.
Yeah. I think so. There's a fancy word called skeuomorphic design, which is like basically this concept of like something, I think I'm explaining this right, I'm not smart enough to fully understand it probably, but like basically this idea of like when a new technology comes out, there are like net new use cases that emerge. And I think that if we think about like the last 10 years of the predictable playbook, predictable revenue playbook, adding like sprinkling some AI onto it and automation, like, does it make it better? Yeah. Makes it 20 or 30% better or whatever. It doesn't make it 10x better. And I think that's the thing that at least I'm personally looking for, is that like, to me, that's the alpha. That's the thing that's like, okay, what is possible today, specifically with AI, generative AI, that was not possible 2 years ago? And I think there are certain things that fall into that category. And so, you know, having a sequencer with a line of personalization generated by AI, sure, that's better than a sequencer without that, but that makes it 20% better. I don't think that is a 10x or 100x return on the piece of technology that exists now. So I think that's the other thing that I'm kind of trying to think through, is like, what are the use cases that are 10x better, as opposed to like, let's just do this kind of spray and pray thing that's like 20% better, but now we can do, instead of 50 emails a day, we can do 5,000 emails a day. And like, we're basically treating an email as like a digital ad at that point. It's like, mm-hmm. this is an ad. It's an ad in somebody's inbox and they're going to swipe it away in 3 seconds, but it's an ad impression in the same way that like, if they're in my LinkedIn or Facebook feed, it's like an ad impression. And like, I think that's fine to call it that, but like that's not what it used to do. It used to get people to spend 30 minutes with you.
Yeah. That, to me, that is just like such marketing thinking applied to everything. It's like, this is the law of shitty click-throughs happening in front of our faces, where display ads used to work, like Google search ads used to work. And now it's like, we've ruined this so much and ruined the user experience so much that, you know, we're just counting it up as like, oh, this is an impression. Like, this is chalked up to brand. And like, we're not actually thinking about like, what is an effective approach to getting someone to take an action. But, you know, at the same time, I'm like, well, maybe that is a good way to get your brand in front of someone if people have ad blockers and all this stuff too. So I don't know. I still get the marketer in me is like, oh, maybe this is actually a good play. I don't know.
Yeah, it's not bad. I think it's like, yeah, it's better than nothing. But I think, I think if it's...
Which is like moving the goalposts a little bit is what irked me. It's like, oh, this wasn't working. And so therefore, like, let's move the goalposts and say, like, we're doing it for this reason now, instead of like what the actual reason we set it up to do.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah, that's exactly right, I think.
Okay, yeah. Last thing before... I can't believe it's already like almost half an hour in. Last thing before jumping to some audience questions. There is a lot of criticism in the market of like, there's no referenceable case studies. There's no like people who are sticking their neck out and saying that they're doing this. Like, that was actually part of that TechCrunch article today or yesterday on 11X. And so I know that you are hands-on with a lot of practitioners and a lot of companies. And I wonder if you could like share some of the stuff that you're doing with AI or that is real. Hopefully it's not putting you on the spot too much. And if not, I can share like what we're doing and what our customers are seeing too.
Yeah, I'll share a couple things. I think also just on the first point, I'm curious your take on this actually, but like the way I see AI SDRs, I think many people are obviously using an AI SDR to some degree of success. I would say my read on it in this current moment is, it is cheaper than an SDR, but it is less effective than a human SDR. That's probably like the simplest summary of kind of an AI SDR today. It's like, this thing doesn't sleep, but it's email only, right? So it doesn't sleep. It can do a bunch of research. It's not going to like miss anything in research like a human might. It kind of misses some context. It misses some nuance. So there's just kind of pros and cons, but like, is it cheaper than $90,000 a year SDR? I don't know, whatever kind of in the US an SDR, whatever the comp is, 150K, I don't know what it is. Yeah, it's cheap.
90K OT, yeah.
90K OT, right. Or 70K or whatever, like,
yeah.
I think it's cheaper, but it's just less effective. That's how I would probably say in this current moment it is. But I'm curious to take real quick.
By all means, like, if people, there's a question about, you know, should founders take this approach versus even like hiring? I think that's what the question in the chat was. I'm now confused because I'm spotlighted, but it's okay. My thought on that is like, if you're starting from scratch and you're just planning to run the predictable revenue playbook anyway, then like, sure, why hire a human task force? It's like a lot more expensive. And, you know, it's going to be better than this predictable revenue playbook for the past. The thing is, it's just like, that's not effective. Like, that's not good enough, as we were talking about before. So it might get the word out, but like, if you're expecting to get replies and, you know, meetings booked and pipeline out of it, I think you have to kind of curb your expectations a bit there. You know, and then also I would say like, it's maybe worth experimentation, you know, versus hiring someone, because maybe it does work. Like, I'm an N of one, like a lot of people out there are N of one, and it didn't work for them. Maybe they didn't put in the right inputs to say like how they talk about their value prop and the people and like who they're targeting or whatever. Like, maybe those inputs are wrong, and they're therefore like the AI SDR would have worked if they got some of those other things up front. So it's not to say that it's not worth experimenting with. I think it's more just like thinking through, like, it comes down to empathy too. It's like thinking through all the other end of like, if someone who's my target prospect gets this message, like, if I put myself in their shoes, would I react to it? Am I going to take action there? And if the answer is yes, and it's generated by an AI, ASDR or human, like, who cares? Like, that's what you need to get to.
Totally. Totally. I would also say maybe this is like sort of counter to what you just said, but I think it's a good way to do it. Like, this is a test, and like, it's a very low risk test. You're going to spend X amount of money for the next 3 months and see if you get Y amount of meetings. So it's a very like kind of predictable thing. Somebody else asked like, to the question of the founder-led sales. I think I also to some degree think an AI SDR is really good at like automating and scaling a process that you know works. So I think like, if you don't have product market fit, if you're a founder that doesn't yet have product market fit, and like you can't manually reach out to 10 people a day and book a few meetings a week off of 50 engaged off of 50 emails. Like, I just don't think you have product market fit. You don't even have message market fit. You don't have case studies to reference. You don't have quantifiable results to tell people about. Probably don't have like an offer yet to be able to give value in that outreach. And so like, there's nothing to scale yet. You don't have product market fit, so you can't scale it. And AI SDR is really good at scaling something that's already working, but you're doing it manually and it takes too much time. So that's maybe like the counter as well, as I would think about it.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. It's more like, if you're a founder, you got to be in founder mode. I know that has negative connotations now, but be in founder mode. And that means like going crazy on like getting, you got investment, I would guess. And like, how did you get that investment is probably through like determination. And you got to be just as determined to do like founder-led sales, I guess. So that is a good counterpoint, I would agree.
That's right. So examples of AI. I think there's... I'll share a couple specific examples. I went down kind of like a rabbit hole over the weekend, watching a bunch of Jeff Bezos talks. And so this is very top of mind for me. One of which was like a TED talk he gave in 99. He hasn't given many public talks. So it's interesting when he shares stuff. He did a recent interview a couple months ago that kind of triggered me to go back and watch his 1999 TED talk. I think it was somewhere around there. Anyway, he was talking about the dot-com bubble. And he says a lot of people... give the analogy of it being a gold rush, and there's kind of this boom and then a bust in the same way the gold rush, right? There's the boom and a bust cycle. And he was saying that's like, you know, the dot-com bubble is often said to be similar. And his argument was like, it actually is more like electricity, and it's something that is going to touch everything. It's going to be in everything. And cloud computing at the time he's basically making this argument that like it's going to touch every single thing. And his recent interview, this was like a month ago, he's using that same analogy with AI now. And I think that's spot on. Again, like I just think it's like, okay, where do you use AI in go to market? It's like everywhere. I think everywhere. I think it touches, I think every application will have AI in it to make it better. Literally. It's like, and so, yeah.
It's like, what products are using the cloud? Every SaaS product. Like,
And right, exactly. And like, you know, I think it's spot on when people are like, you know, you don't say, Common Room is like a cloud product. It's like, you don't need to say that anymore.
Yeah.
But in the early days, you would. That would be like something you say as like a differentiator or something, like a kind of a marketing thing. And so I think there's probably a world where in 5 years, it's not like an AI SDR. It's just like, yeah, it is your digital coworker. I actually think 11X, the messaging was like amazing that like you have digital coworkers. I think that future is going to happen. I think that's probably inevitable. It's just like little agents that are autonomous that like you're kind of coordinating and working with. I think that probably will happen. So
yeah.
Anyway, I would like encourage people definitely just like start tinkering with this in work, in personal life. Like I'm trying to retrain my brain to be like, oh, there's a task that I need to do. It will take me 90 seconds to do it. I wonder if I can actually just outsource that to AI. And like maybe the first time it takes me 5 minutes, but then the next time it takes me 10 seconds instead of 90 seconds. And it's just helping me figure out what are the guardrails of AI? Like where is it good? Where is it not good? What model is better? Is Claude better for this? Or is ChatGPT better for this? Or, you know, whatever. I think that's also like the helpful thing for me as I actually like am doing things in my work life and personal life every day.
Yeah. Yeah. You touched on something which we actually didn't hit on too much, which is just like the agentic or the AI workforce side of things, which I think we're maybe being too negative, like, oh, AI SDRs don't work or something, but like AI does work. And I still do think we were in the very early innings, but there are like so many mundane tasks that I use AI for that SDRs and the whole entire go-to-market workforce can use already. It's things like doing account research. It's things like, you know, drafting an email, even if it's just, using a foundational model, like going from 0 to 1 there, or getting some inspiration there is something that like you can totally use and totally augment your workforce with. It's just when you get to this like full automation thing, maybe we're not quite there yet, but there's like so many use cases, and I'm like barely scratching the surface of the use cases that people are using now in production, so to speak, in terms of like their workforce is using it.
Yeah, I mean the meeting summary recap action item workflow is that's amazing. It's just like it's magic. If I had that 10 years ago when I was selling, like I would pay out of pocket a lot of money to have that. And now it's just like a little free bolt-on thing. It's insane.
Take all this, summarize it, put it in Salesforce, and then use that as a signal for a micro campaign in the future. Yeah. Like, you know, that stuff is all magic.
But yeah, one that I'm working on right now is like a closed lost campaign. This is like a classic play every 90 days or whatever. Ideally, it's just kind of an evergreen play running in the background. You know, just reach out to any closed lost deal from 181 days ago and re-engage with them, either with the account owner from before or the current account owner, the person that talked to, you know, you can kind of build out the logic in different ways. But now it's like, okay, look at the call recording and here are 3 prompts. Tell me why they decided to talk to us when they did 9 months ago. Tell me what was the pain point they were trying to solve, and tell me why did they not move forward with us? And then it's like, okay, boom, boom, boom. Here are my first 3 sentences in my email that I can now go use in my outreach to go re-engage with them. That's just like that's a good example of something that like that would have taken 20 minutes as an SDR AE to go research, to go look in that call recording, to go listen back to it or get the transcript and like try to figure it out. And now you can build this like thing. It's not even an agent, but it's just kind of based off of prompts to go run this play automatically. That's a magical thing. It's wild.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we're getting close to time. I was just like, turn to a few of the audience questions in the next 5 minutes. So we got one from Malcolm here that is, what's the sentiment on AI cold calling? Got one the other day and made me curious to hear. Interesting what it sounded like, Malcolm. But I got one the other day and made me curious to hear what the future is there.
I'm curious your take. I mean, that one seems tricky from like a regulation standpoint. If that flip gets switched off, like, I don't know what happens. I also think there's probably a world where there's like AI buyers, or people kind of like guarding your inbox or your phone as like a first line of defense. Like, I don't know, maybe you could put in like certain things that you're in the market for and like those calls get through, but otherwise they don't get through. I don't know. There's probably going to be something crazy there. But
it gets me thinking to the point where it's like, you know, if someone's doing that as a sale on the sales side of things, then like someone as a receiver of it's got to do it on the on their side, or it's going to be AIs talking to each other. And then it's like, you know, maybe the world ends at that point. But
I mean, kind of AIs are talking to each other with Calendly, right? Like this is kind of like a step in that direction. Obviously, it's not actually AI. It's not an agent, but like we do kind of have logic talking to each other when you're doing that kind of Calendly interchange. And that used to be like really taboo to send a Calendly link. Like I remember. It's like, it was, oh, don't do that. It's disrespectful. Now it's like kind of disrespectful. If you don't do that.
I never adhered to that etiquette, I guess. I was just like, how could this not be better? I got an interesting one from an AI founder. So this is one that I think pointed at you, Brandon. I was curious to take your take on what you think the ideal positioning of an AI SDR should be. Selfishly, I want to hear that too.
Yeah. Well, one of my top three lessons from when I was kind of selling AI SDRs 10 years ago, whatever it was, 6 years ago, I don't know, was I think it's very threatening, actually, to obviously to SDRs. It's actually, more importantly, I think threatening to SDR managers because they don't want headcount. I remember onboarding a customer, they'd already paid us. And on the kind of like the kickoff call, this SDR leader of like a very well-known, well-funded company at the time, she was like, I'm really anxious to see how this works, something along these lines. I'm excited to see how this works. I really don't think it's going to work. So let's see how it goes. And I was like, okay. So this is like, it's just kind of this light bulb moment of like, oh, you don't want this to succeed. Because if it does, your headcount of 30 SDRs goes down to 10. Mm. And so I think like AI SDR in general, personally, I think that's not good branding because I think people are kind of scared of that. And it's like replacing salespeople when in reality, it shouldn't actually replace them. It should kind of augment them. And then in some case, own a full end-to-end workflow.
That's where we're seeing our customers, which are, you know, a bit larger, like 100 plus employees. It's just like they have this AI SDR. They have this SDR team and they want to make that team more effective because of all the reasons we stated earlier of just like, you know, it's harder and harder and harder out there for that team to, you know, hit their objectives. And so essentially like AI is giving them superpowers, whether it's from doing the research for them or like servicing a micro campaign to them on a platter or suggesting, you know, copy for them to use and modify. Like that is more of the use case versus like, I'm going to completely wipe out my team. And yeah, maybe you don't make as many hires because like that team is more productive, but like, I haven't seen any cases where it's like, oh, we trialed this AI SDR. It completely beat our SDR team. And we're going to just, you know, eliminate that team. Like that's just, I've never seen that happen.
Yeah, makes sense. I'll put, I wrote a post if I can show my own post here. Sorry. How do I host in, you know, where do I put it? I put it in chat or no?
Yeah, put it in chat. I thought you maybe had permissions to share, but I think I can do that. Hold on.
Anyways, it's basically just if people want to read more, but I think I gave three reasons. I think it's psychological, rules of engagement, and then technological, which I think two and three are solvable. I think number one is kind of like the most important thing, which is kind of that psychological thing, which is what I was talking about. Threatening status. Do you want to augment or replace? Those are kind of the main two things, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
again, I'm like incredible. I like can't be more bullish on AI. it's more just like probably like the packaging and the messaging is the thing that I'm like not super bullish on currently with AI SDRs. Maybe people kind of choose to accept them, but yeah, I think it's like, I think augmentation is probably a better way to think about it and probably more close to the truth. But again, it's tempting to say like, it's an AI SDR, it'll book meetings autonomously. Like that is an easy thing to sell and market.
Yeah. And again, we're still early, like in two years, it may be completely different.
I think it will be. By the way, I think like an AI SDR will be incredibly good in 2 or 3 years. Incredibly good.
you're not bought into we're hitting a compute ceiling, I guess.
I have no idea. Smarter people than me have said they thought that, and then it didn't happen or it hasn't happened yet. But
and they always figure out how to like shard and like get better use. I mean, that's what DeepSeek was, right? Better usage of the existing compute. So anyway, I know we have other questions, but I want to make sure that we give you some time back, Brendan. And also, I think we can address a lot of those questions post. So we'll send them to you if they're directed at you. And I just wanted to thank you again for joining. And you know, plug for the Signal if we shared some links, but definitely go subscribe to it if you're on this or watching this. And thanks so much. I'll let you go.
Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate you having me. One more thing. Somebody asked a question. I think AI is very good at finding signals. And just to give you a plug, not even about your product, but I often reference the Google Sheet that you put together, graphic of the signals that exist. I think my read is people don't yet know what signals are possible, or they just want like to get ideas sparked. And that's been a reference that I share very often with people. And then of course, Common Room, AKA AI, does a very good job of automating this. Yeah, the second tab that's called Signals by Type Infographic, that infographic is awesome. So anyway, thank you for having me, Kevin. I appreciate it. Always fun to jam with you. And
likewise. I'll see you in the rumor mill of LinkedIn.
Yes, that's good.
All right. See you.
Cheers.